Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Check out our special deal. Try Blue Chew for free and use the promo code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com with the promo code TMS to receive your first month free. Coming up on TMS, do I like Ted Cruz's haircut? Let me mull it over.
Nobody puts baby in a cupcake.
Lack of chair, lack of hair, lack of Claire.
Weezer's weird, right?
Did you put an egg in your ginger hair?
Many naked methods.
What do strong people rip now?
You know how to earn some beads.
Florida Rhapsody.
One of the seven numbers.
Somewhere there's a phone book.
Las Vandalay, importer and exporter extraordinaire.
Meat from down under, if you know what I mean.
Reconciliation with Justin and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Look at this Christmas tree. It's perfect for a gay person or a straight person.
Look who I have on the video phone.
Ah, this is The Morning Stream, and I feel fine.
Welcome to TMS, everybody. It is The Morning Stream for Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Hello, and welcome to the second half of February.
Yeah.
February.
I'm glad, because I hate this month's name. I just want to say March.
The sooner we can get through it, the better, right? Yeah.
I want to say March. March is fun to say. It's short.
March.
It's easy to say. It's pronounceable. You see it on a piece of paper, and you don't go, is it February? I don't want to do that anymore. This month sucks. Let's get through February and move on, okay?
It's horrible.
Real quick off top of the show, I know there's a crap. We have a lot of listeners in Texas and in and around that area. Also other parts of the country, I guess. There's Portland's having a bunch of outages and stuff. Anyway,
Louisiana had some weird freaking storms with like...
Did they?
Yeah, like balls of electricity. They showed a video of somebody that somebody took in Louisiana, and it was like a ball of electricity zipping from line to line. It looked like...
I saw that. I wondered what that was. I thought that was just some...
Michael Bay special effect or something.
That was some rando thing from a long time ago, but that, I didn't realize that was recent or part of this weird weather pattern thing.
Oh, it's crazy. It was crazy.
That is crazy. Well, wherever you are, if you're out of power, I know a lot of friends in Texas have been out for like 25 hours or something. That's bad because it's also really cold. And some people's pipes are frozen, plus some water service is just straight up off. So I'm just saying, if you're hearing us somehow, you're catching us later on the podcast feed, whatever, we hope you're doing okay. And send in your experiences to the show. We'll talk
about
it.
That's right. We're thinking about you.
Yeah.
Can't really send you electricity, but if we could, we would.
We could. I would send it in the form of a big throbbing ball across a line, like Brian just described, if I could. But I don't know how.
Yeah, I told Wabbit Magic that I'd send it. I'd send He-Man's power sword, because if you have that, you have the power.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
As the song says, you have the power. Hey, look at this. We also have a thing to do, an email to read. Now, I took a lot of heat yesterday in my own head, not because of other people.
Oh, okay.
But I was hard on myself because... this idea that hotels aren't full of phone books, like I thought, really threw me. And I was having kind of a Mandela effect sort of day afterwards. Like, it wasn't quite this serious, but there were multiple times in the day where I went, well, if if I thought that was true, what else do I think is right and is wrong? Like, you know, start having this existential kind of thing happen about what you think is what you're actually noticing and what you're not. I swear every hotel I've ever been in had a phone book, not necessarily a big fat one, maybe a medium one, but some kind of like local directory of businesses and other stuff that isn't part of the little thin packet you get, but a large tome.
But something, but basically like a, like one of those half size yellow pages, maybe one of those combo ones that's half white yellow page or half white pages, half yellow pages.
Yeah,
or
like
something.
That. Something similar okay. to that I thought so, was in every hotel that I'd ever seen.
So here's a like Daniel J. Newman, just give the man a point, but he's suffered enough.
Oh, yeah.
I will, this is absolutely an argument that I will never win because I fully believe that the major hotel chains have phased them out. But I'm sure if you looked around, there's absolutely going to be smaller hotel chains or independent hotels that absolutely still have phone books. So there's no way that I can win an argument by saying there is no hotels have phone books.
Yeah, there'd be
so
there's
I will
no
absolutely
100%.
Concede that there are probably some hotels that have
some hotel somewhere has a phone book. I will also say that I'm sure that that's true.
Yes, but let's continue with
this. We got this email. This came from B4 Tank Girl, who we deal with a lot on the show.
Yeah,
she says, Scott,
Louisiana.
She says, Scott, you're not crazy. Phone books are definitely a thing in hotels. If you're new to a city, you use them to find local restaurants, stores, etc. Trisha, now, I got, I don't know, 50 emails just like that one saying, oh, I know these. So I didn't feel alone. I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not making this up in my head. The only way for us to be sure, though, is we are going to right now, and I haven't done this before, so I have no idea what they're going to say. We are going to call a major hotel chain location. This one is in downtown Columbus, Ohio.
Is this the one you stayed at when you went to Columbus?
No, we didn't stay at the Hilton. This is a different hotel.
Okay.
And that part, this is partly why I'm doing this, because I want to see if, you know, I want to go to one that I haven't been to in a long time. The only Hilton I've been to is lately has been in Anaheim. So we're going to call the Hilton in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Right now on the phone, and we're going to ask these people.
Now, I put in a different phone number. It's still the same Hilton, but the number you put in there is an 855, and I'm sure that's going to get you like their hotel.
Oh, is this
main phone number? Yeah. The one on the right there is the Hilton on High Street in Columbus.
All right,
that should get you right to the front desk.
All right, I'm glad you did that.
I swear it's not. I didn't have a plant out there that's like, all right, you're Art Vandelay, you're an importer exporter, and
We're not gonna get a. Yeah, I'm not too worried. Yeah. All right, let's see what happens when we go into this here. All right, we're gonna call it. I don't know why this thing's muted, but here we go.
Thank you for calling the Hilton Columbus Downtown. We can't wait for you to experience our Hilton Clean Stay program. Clean Stay is an industry-leading program that brings elevated cleaning practices to every aspect of the hotel experience.
That's great.
Please be advised that some of our amenities and operating hours...
Please hold.
I hit zero. It usually works.
Thank you for calling the Hilton Columbus Downtown. How may I be of assistance?
Yes, I was calling to... I had a quick question for you guys. Do you guys... You guys keep phone books in your rooms for your guests, like local?
No, we do not.
You do not do that? Okay.
No.
All right. Well, you helped settle a question we've had, and I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much. All right.
Damn it!
I'll be staying at the Hyatt, sir.
Yeah, that's the last penny I spend at a Hilton. You tell Paris to go make another midnight sex tape. I'm not interested.
All right, well.
Good day.
I guess that at least says something,
right?
That says
the one hotel doesn't have it. But like I said, I think my guess would be, and I gave you a link to an article from the Raleigh News and Observer from 2008 that lists a bunch of hotel chains that are phasing out their phone books as of 2008. And I'm guessing it's probably like I said, you're going to have your Sheratons, your Hiltons, your Hyatts, your... Homewood Suites. I mean, I'm trying to think of other ones. Those are probably, they probably all phase them out because it costs them money, right? If they've got a 300 room hotel,
yeah,
they've got to buy and maintain phone books in all those hotels.
Yeah, I think your theory is right. The big chains, it's an initiative to say, are we going to keep doing this or are we not? Right. And then they stop at a national scale or even
it's
international
scale. United deciding not to have that one olive that they put on when they were serving meals on planes. They took the olive off of the chicken or fish dish, and all of a sudden they saved $3 million a
year
or something.
Yeah, they found the money they needed to stop putting that olive on there. You're absolutely right. So I totally agree with you, and this is and I'm happy to come to this place where I understand it now. I think what's happened is I'm conflating also a lot of old memories, newer memories,
sure.
Book that may or may not have been a proper phone book, was more like the hotel's version of a, here's our menu, plus these local things, plus our partners, plus mm-hmm. blah, blah. Like it was probably some of that. So some have them. They're small, like you say, a smaller place might have it. I might get one at a small chain that hasn't decided to eliminate them. And for whatever right. reason, I save money when I go there. So therefore, my memory is that I always see one there. But if I go to a Marriott or a Hilton or whatever, they have probably mm-hmm. wisely decided to dump the damn things, because who wants a phone book? Nobody does. So
who needs one, right?
Nobody needs one. Look at this thing we have. Look at this phone book I have right here in my pocket.
Right, exactly. And guess what? It's accurate.
Yeah.
If a business changes their phone number yesterday, it's probably fixed in that device you have right there.
Yeah.
And at least last week if they changed their phone number.
Moving Train Media has a good question, though. What do strong people rip in half now instead?
Old phone books. I mean, there's got to be a stockpile of those somewhere.
Yeah, someplace. These are like CRT monitors. Eventually, you won't be able to find one. But for now, get them on eBay, whatever. Right. You'll find one here and there.
But it does make you worry, like, all right, so they're phasing out phone books. And then probably, you know, somebody in the chat room suggested they'll probably phase out, if they haven't already, the Gideon Bible in the nightstand. It's going to be kind of like Frontier. Like, remember how Frontier Airlines, we're deciding we're going to phase out full-size trays, right? So now you have like a little postage stamp size tray that you can flip down and put a phone on.
Right.
Because they've also phased out the little video screens in the seats in front of you.
Yeah.
To be able to
watch. Yeah, and they've moved those seats back a little bit. My knees can attest.
Jammed
yeah.
another couple rows in there.
Yeah, and I don't fit in coach anymore. They're trying to force me to do freaking first class or business class, because I can't I can't fit. Like, ask my wife, every time we fly, I've got to be aisle because my one leg's got to be over here. I'm 6'4". It just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And then when those carts come by and I'm not ready for it, gonk. Oh, bam. Sorry, sir. We freaking it's destroyed your knee for no reason. I hate it.
I do too. I do Southwest because if I can get on early enough, I can usually snag one of those exit row seats. And the prime exit row seat is the one where it's right next to the bulkhead and there's no seat directly in front of you. So you can just stretch your business out all the way.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can save a little money on that slot, right? Because they'll be like, because nobody else wants it. Or am I thinking of the right thing?
That's a coveted seat. That's usually
you're right.
That's gone with people who board in the A group. So if you're not in A, you're not getting that seat.
What am I thinking of? I think I'm thinking of a specific plane that Delta buys that has like halfway down the aisle, there's a divot.
Mm-hmm.
And that divot cuts over, and the chair right there is perfect because I can get my legs out there. But I think that's just a certain plane, like a whatever they're called.
Right, or the Dreamliner or something. Like, it's not that one, but it's something like that.
Yeah, one of the seven numbers. I don't know what they are. But anyway, well, we've learned a lesson today. I'm glad we did it. And thanks to that nice man at the Hilton Columbus for Hilton Columbus for helping us out with this horrible query. All right, I want to do a special birthday shout out. I actually got this a week or two ago, and I promised I'd do it. So I want to do a quick shout out to the following person. I got a message that says, "Hey, thanks so much for replying. Sorry, my reply is a bit tardy." It's totally fine. It went to junk mail. Oh, man, I hate it when I go to junk mail. Anyway, the name of this person is Corey Jones. He lives in Brisbane, Australia, and his birthday is on the 16th of February. This is from Angie Hale, his significant other. Nice. Thanks again. I'll be sure to pick up a cute gift from your store as well. Hope you and your families are both well. Well, thanks. And thanks, happy Angie. Birthday, Corey. And. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's over now, right? Because he's in Australia. So, there's probably like a couple hours left of his birthday.
That's true. I hope it was good, dude. I hope it was all right. I
hope you had a good birthday.
Yeah. Your little dingo meat and whatever you do down there. But here's the thing.
I have a meat pie. Celebrate.
Kind of meat they like down there? Beef? They're like big on cattle, right? They like beef.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Do they
eat kangaroo, dingo meat?
You can. We've talked about that on the show, about eating kangaroo. I think Gidget said it's really, really good.
That's right.
I don't know if they eat dingo meat, though, or wallaby meat.
Wallaby meat. But I figure...
They eat nothing but bloomin' onions and Victoria's fillets, as far as I know.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's, yeah. They wash it all down with a Foster's.
Oh, wallaby darned. Yeah. Yeah.
A Foster's beer, which is, you know, Australian for beer, is what right. I heard. That's what I was told. By the way, you share a name, Corey Jones, you share a name with the with a guy who used to work at Blizzard who now runs, what's the tabletop game brand? Shoot. Anyway, they made the World of Warcraft.
Small World? World of Warcraft?
They... I can't remember the name, but... They have that CCG game called Hex that a lot of people really like. It's super hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that's Corey Jones. He's really nice. Different guy, though.
Not Cryptozoic.
Cryptozoic. That's it. Cryptozoic.
It is Cryptozoic. Okay.
Yep. Well done. My brain.
Thanks.
It no worky today. Anyway, there's your morning breakdown. I had one more thing to say. I forgot what it was. I forgot. Know. Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Man.
Yeah, it was good. And now I don't
know. Oh, happy Mardi Gras.
Oh, yeah. Oh, happy Mardi Gras, everybody.
Yeah, is Kim making jambalaya tonight?
She is. And we got something else she was going to make that she doesn't usually. And I forgot what she said. I'm forgetting everything today. But she's making something else, and it'll be a very small affair. Usually in non-COVID years, we make a big deal out of this and usually go to her sister's, which is like 8 blocks that way. And just have a huge party and all these friends come over and everybody eats like idiots and eats king cake and all that. But I don't think that's happening this year. It did happen last year because things were fine last February. Well, they mm-hmm. weren't fine, but we weren't in lockdown.
They were
lockdown
just on
yet.
The verge of being not fine, but they were. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was great. We throw beads at each other. I show my boobs.
Do you? Uh-huh. Yeah. That's the only way to get beads, people. That's it. That's the only way.
Yeah. If you have to ask me. You have to say, show me your boobs, and then I'll show you my boobs, and then I'll throw you some beads. Right? Isn't that how it works? Right. Or no, they
That's
throw
exactly
me the beads.
Right, yes.
I forget. But anyway.
Yeah, my plan today is to make king cake cupcakes, because that if you can make them smaller and then not gorge on like a a massive slab of cake.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a good
Just
idea.
Just have little cupcakes, and if you use... monk fruit instead of granulated sugar,
mm-hmm.
you know, then really you just got, you know, it's basically flour, cinnamon, butter, water, salt, yeast. That's it.
Yeah.
So
it's not too bad.
No,
you can totally.
I'm not going to hide a baby in there either. Not going to do that. That just feels like a chipped tooth waiting to happen.
Well, especially in a cupcake. Well, I guess if you put it in one of a
You just put it in one
dozen.
Of the cupcakes,
okay.
right? I mean, right. yeah, exactly.
I could see that.
I'm not going to do that. I'm still not doing that.
But then people could just be really gingerly, you know, bite in slowly and not mm-hmm. not too gregariously and try to be
It's
careful.
Really a 50% chance because it's just Tina and me in the house. We know one of us is going to get the baby. It's like we could just play the flip a coin game. Ah, heads, you got the baby. There you go.
It's like the ruletista there at the Ibbot home, pulling that gun out That's and right. trying to figure it out. Anyway.
Did I say ginger? I didn't mean to say ginger if I said ginger. Wait. Cinnamon, butter, sugar, flour, salt, water, yeast. That's it.
I thought there was a redhead in the chat room and you called them a ginger. I mean, people do that. So.
Yes, I did. I don't know why. If I said ginger, I
said gingerly. Like,
oh, you gingerly eat the cake. To
yeah,
get the
yeah,
baby
yeah.
Out.
That's what
I
was.
Got you.
Real quick, do any redheads want to fill me in on this? Is it or is it not? Do you feel offended when someone calls you a ginger? And does it depend, I guess, on their tone of voice or their you know, like their stature toward you? Like, no, says Clariac. She says it doesn't bother her.
I don't know if she's, well, she might be answering the question, do you add an egg to that mix? Because she said no right after that.
No, she says, I'm Irish and Scottish. It's my hair color. Okay, she is talking about the hair.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if it was like, do you put an egg in that?
I love that. This is how wars start, man. People get confused about exactly what question they're answering.
This is why Twitch lag is such a bad thing.
Yep.
Because we don't know if you're answering the question that we just asked or the question we asked 12 seconds ago or 24 seconds ago. Or
Now, BioCow adds the right follow-up. Gingers, now that we've established you're not offended by the term, are you offended when somebody points out you don't have a soul? Is that the thing with gingers?
Wow.
I don't know how that works. I remember of all this gingerness, my most prominent memory is just the South Park episode they did about it. And that thing was all over the place, and I don't remember half the jokes they told. But anyway, I guess what I'm saying is we love all our people here at the show. Okay.
We love all our people. Claire Gag clarifies. She says, no egg and no offense to being called ginger. And then she asks, do you find it offensive when people call you bald? Me. Oh, meaning me.
Yeah. Do people call you bald? Do they go, people hey, don't you're call bald. Me bald,
but they can, and I have absolutely no problem with it because it's, you know.
I'm trying to think if anything would offend me right off the bat. Most things won't offend me personally.
But I'm more than just my baldness, okay? Yeah. There's more to me than just a lack of chair, a lack of hair. And a lack of chair. A lack of chair. What? I don't know what I was about to say that I merged into hair to make chair.
Well, we got Claire,
but I
chair,
do have lack
hair.
Of chair. I am at a standing desk, so.
Yeah. Maybe Claire's name was throwing you off. That's what I'm saying. Maybe. A lack of Claire. Yeah.
A lack of chair, a lack of Claire, and a lack of hair.
It's a Claire show today because we got a thing at the end of the show she's going to freak out about. Wow. Or it'll offend everybody and we're done. This is our last episode ever. It's possible.
That's right. Exactly.
Entirely possible. So we'll see how that goes. All right. We have not been able to do this in a couple of days, and so now is our chance. Let's do this. Brian, it's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Soundography. I mentioned this yesterday, but it's still, you know, it's still up on the site, soundography.com. LL Cool J, or L Ladies Love Cool James, is what that stands for. Hammond Chamberlain and I listened to his entire library, every album, back to back. What do we think? Well, Mama Said Knock You Out is what we think, and Don't Call It a Comeback. That's what we think. But if you want to listen to more, go to soundography.com and hear what we have to say about LL Cool J.
Nice. Didn't know anything about his name until yesterday when you told me that. Freaked me out completely.
Yeah. Does it change anything about what you think about LL Cool J?
I mean, it just makes it so now when I hear it, I'm going to think of it every time. Like,
he's still your guy in SWAT. What is your favorite LL Cool J movie?
Oh. That's a good question. I really liked his role in that 20-year anniversary they did some years ago for Halloween. Do you remember that? They did a Halloween remake, and it had Jamie Lee Curtis coming back, and he played a security guard.
Yeah, Cool J was in there?
Yeah, and he was great in that. Halloween H2O.
Okay.
It was called.
Yeah, Toys, for me, Identity 4 has my favorite, Toys, which is that really weird Robin Williams, Joan Cusack...
What was that called?
Toys.
Wait. I got the wrong one in my head. I don't think I've ever seen Toys. Toys is the Barry Levinson film I never saw.
Yes.
Yeah, I love Barry Levinson. Seen everything he ever did. Never saw Toys. I think people said it was bad and don't go. I think is why I didn't see it.
It's weird. And I think it was right. It was one of the first Robin Williams movies where he said, yeah, I'm not going to be doing that thing you know me for everything.
Hmm.
Right? Because it's like... like what dreams may come and Bicentennial
like
Man and
I think
it's weird. It would be a great film sack because I think it's highly contested as whether or not it's good or not. It definitely is very it's not subtle at all about the message it's trying to convey.
Okay.
War is bad. Toys are good.
Levinson had a run of movies like that, like Wag the Dog and some other stuff where he was super into like anti-war stuff.
Yeah.
But
it does have a great soundtrack. Somebody pointed out that it's got a great Tori Amos song. It's got Thomas Dolby, doing the song with Joan Cusack. I mean, can't beat that.
Have I heard her sing? I don't think I have.
No, and maybe something you just only want to hear once. Oh, Michael Gambone.
That reminds me. Gross Point Blank Debbie is Mazzone. Currently on Prime, I believe. So if none of you have seen the greatest film of 1997, possibly of the entire 90s, go see Gross Point Blank on Prime right now. It's very good. She's in that.
It's cool. Toys is on HBO Max streaming.
Just saying. We're just saying.
Slip it in. Should I slip it in? I'm going to slip it in. I'm going to move Catwoman. I'm going to slip it right in. And
please move Catwoman again.
Guess what? There's nothing anyone can do about it.
I still think that might be the worst. Catwoman might be the worst technically supposed to be mainstream AAA movie that we ever did. Because it was sold as a big mainstream movie. It was budgeted as one, but it was so bad. I don't think we've seen anything worse at that level. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you could say, oh, well, freaking, you know, that Dolph Lundgren thing, whatever it was called, is worse. Well, yeah.
Retrograde.
Yeah, but that had budget of like $4.
Nobody expected anything good from that.
Right. It had no budget. It had nobody involved in it except for Dolph Lundgren that was any good. Mm-hmm. Like, we knew what we were getting a bill of goods there, and we knew. But Catwoman was sold as this big, major DC thing. And with an actress who had won best actress in her role in Monster and all this other stuff, like that was supposed to be a big deal, and it turned out to be easily one of the worst movies I've ever seen. So freaking bad.
Yeah, until we see like Ishtar or trying to think of big like just bombs where there's so many expectations for the cast and crew. Yeah. The Catwoman for film sec is probably the biggest one.
Oh, Captain Kipster, do not say Waterworld. Do not. I love Waterworld. All those fighting words. You want to fight me, Captain Kipper? Fight me. Fight me.
Hey, look, I like Hudson Hawk, but that doesn't make it a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what's the Travolta?
Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth, dude.
Yeah.
That's a close second. Earth. Maybe even first. Ugh. What a piece of shite that was. All right, anyway, moving on.
J.K. Grammer asks, which was worse, Catwoman, Suicide Squad, or Wonder Woman 84? Catwoman, for sure.
Oh, 100% Catwoman.
Suicide Squad wasn't great, but actually, of the three of those, I had a better time in that movie than I did with the other two.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. People always bring up Sucker Punch. They're doing it again, Icor is.
Yes. Yeah, Sucker Punch.
Don't tell Dunaway that. He loves that.
Dunaway will defend Sucker Punch to his grave.
Yeah,
but
he loves it.
Visually, that's a great movie. Everything else-ly, that's a bad movie.
Curse of the Crystal Skull. Wait, was that called Curse of the Crystal Skull? Indiana Jones and the... I thought it was just and the Crystal Skull. There was no curse.
Indiana
was
Jones and the Crystal Skull?
I thought it was just...
Oh my God, have we completely... have we decided to just... erase that from our minds so badly. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which makes just as much sense.
That's a really, there's another high that is maybe the highest level of disappointment I've ever had in a movie that was supposed to be a thing.
Even Phantom Menace didn't have as much disappointment as Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I'd take 20 Phantom Menaces over one Kingdom Skull or one Crystal Skull. Anyway, moving on. All check this out. You know those PPP funds? They're like those temporary or these forgivable loans that the government gave out to businesses to get them by last year.
Small businesses,
Well, they went out to people, everybody from small businesses to larger ones and some in between. One dude who got $7.2 million from a PPP loan used it to buy a mansion and a bunch of luxury cars. And now he's in trouble because you shouldn't do that. They do check on this stuff, you know. It's got to go into the business. A Bradenton, I don't know where this is. This is Orlando.
Bradenton will be Florida,
Okay, so Florida man. Rich Florida man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in his Seminole County mansion. Is Seminole County a nice county with like big mansion-y things?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know my counties. I've been to Bradenton. Bradenton Herald installed there.
Nice.
I think it's on the west coast. It's west of the peninsula.
Were there any
on the Sarasota side and the Tampa side.
Any naked meth heads running by or anything weird like that?
Many, many naked meth heads.
I only know Florida from the news, so I can't, you know. It's only people cheating on their PPP loans or naked meth heads.
That's right.
Don's sister Nino was indicted on 2 counts of wire fraud, 3 counts of aggravated identity theft, and 3 counts of illegal monetary transaction. Records show that he established some company called Magnifico.
Magnifico!
I guess it's more like Magnifica.
I'm just a poor boy. Please give me a loan.
I need a mansion and 50 cars, please.
No, 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 no.
Let's see. This company is old as 2014.
This one writes itself.
There you go.
Right into the Rhapsody.
Yep. Let's see. It was listed as a consulting company with few or no employees, according to records. He applied for the Paycheck Protection Program loan, established as part of the Federal CARES Act relief bill. He is accused of saying that he had 441 employees with an average monthly payroll of $2.88 million per month. Records show that after the application, they issued the funds to him. Prosecutors said that Sister Nirno is accused of using the money to buy a Maserati, an $89,000 Lincoln Navigator, a $251,000 Mercedes-Benz, and a $3.1 million home in Chilota.
Okay, I think I've got it. Ready?
Yeah. All
right. I'm just a poor boy with 400 employees. You're just an idiot who's going to buy a Maserati.
It's close.
Yeah, it's close. I need to work on the syllables. Way too many syllables in that second one.
Yeah, we're getting there.
You're going to use it to buy a Maserati.
There you go. Maserati's a fun...
this loan and...
Yeah, we just need to workshop it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it's really close. Yeah, this is like I said, this is it is almost done. It's so it fits so perfectly.
So this dude's busted. He bought a lot of stuff, and now he has to answer for it, which probably means federal time in prison. So enjoy. Oh, and those things will all be repossessed. The government now owns your Navigator, your Maserati, and your Mercedes-Benz, as well as that $3.1 million house that you purchased as well.
Man.
I don't know what he was thinking. Who does this?
Yeah, like, it's all I fine. Could totally get away with this. They'll never find me.
Yeah, they don't give that kind of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, dude, they go after poor people with a small infraction on their taxes last year. You think they're not going to go after $7.5 billion? Well, I don't know. Maybe the government favors the rich, yeah. But I'm just saying... You effed up. The problem is you're not actually rich. If you were rich, you can get away with all sorts of stuff. But you don't really have any money. You stole it all from the government.
Government.
All right. Here's a story that's kind of weird.
Ooh.
I know,
it's
unusual.
My favorite kind.
It's unusual for us, I guess. A man has turned his dead uncle's skeleton into a guitar. So, Uncle, you got an uncle you like a lot, you know?
Would I turn his skeleton into a guitar? Only if I'm only going to do Grateful Dead cover songs.
Oh, there you go. That's the only. And then he's a Grateful Dead guitar.
Dead guitar.
A man has turned his dead uncle into a guitar. The man known as Prince Midnight.
Ooh, jeez. Probably his real name, yeah, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Named Prince, last name Midnight.
Sounds like a DC supervillain.
Sure. It really does. An old one, though, like 68, 69, something like that. Like a really old, crappy, Silver Age comic villain. Anyway, he has constructed this functioning guitar from the skeletal remains of his dead uncle. In Midnight's native Greece, cremation is frowned upon with the nation's Orthodox Christian Church. They don't like the cremation. They figure that here's how it goes for some religious beliefs are in, especially in the Christianity realm. If you are cremated, then it's harder to get you when the resurrection comes around. It's harder to get all your little pieces and parts together, which sounds crazy to me. So the reason I have a problem with this is going to piss people off, but
oh god,
I have a problem with this because I also have a mother-in-law who believes this. I want to be created, as you know, and put into people's brownies at an old folks home.
I know. It's not like you said created, not cremated.
Yeah, but... cremated is what I mean.
Yeah.
But their thinking is if you're a body and you're just in the ground, that's easier to resurrect because you're all in one place.
Right. It's you don't have to go to multiple places.
Right.
Well, some of them is in this lady's urn and some of them is in this urn over here. And yeah.
Right. But my thing is, let's say they're right and that day happens. You still had worms that ate part of that dude and went off somewhere else. It's not as simple as you think. Like, you've got a really simplified idea in your head about what that body's doing in that coffin anyway. It's not super self-contained. First of all. Second of all, it's a much cooler concept that if I fed my remains or somebody fed my ashes in brownie form to like 300 old folks in a home somewhere, and then the day comes where I have to be reassembled. Imagine how rad that is. Even if some of those people are still alive, they'll just suddenly go, bleh, and like a little bit of ash come out of that guy.
Well, they've pooped you out. I mean, you're floating through the, you're in the...
I'm everywhere, man.
Right.
I've been recycled. I'm like fertilizing...
Golden Rest sewer system.
That's right. I'm fertilizing, you know, crops in Africa or something. I don't know what. Bill Gates is using me for his new poop converter he made. It's going to be great.
It is funny that, you know, they think that, forgive my use of the word they in this sentence, but they think that God can do all this stuff, but he can't assemble you from pieces that may be in different places.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to get hung up on, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like, come on, he's got Superman powers. And we all know that Superman just creates brand new powers anytime he needs a new power.
Yeah, so this idea that the cremation is a problem, whatever. I'm getting cremated is what I'm saying. That's what's happening. Yeah, it's like, be it brownies, put me in a smoothie. I want a smoothie. I want... you can put me in whatever you want. I don't care. Feed me to people is what I'm saying. That's not weird at all. Anyway.
I'm not going to worry about that. That's an argument that I'll never... That it's okay to feed yourself to old people in brownie form.
I'm going to do all I can to try to keep convincing you, but you're probably never going to come around.
Exactly. That's literally a hill that you could die on.
Yeah, literally.
A hill of brownies.
Yep, a hill of brownies. Anyway, so this is a big no-no over there. Anyway, so his uncle Flip, I'm sorry, Philip.
Philip.
It's Uncle Philip. Not Flip, who died in a car accident 20 years ago, had requested that a skeleton be donated to a local college for educational purposes. After the college no longer had need of the skeleton, we no longer have need.
We've educated everybody. Everybody knows skeletons now, so we don't need the skeleton anymore.
Yeah, no more students coming in new. Take your skeleton and leave.
That seems hokey.
It does to me as well.
Yeah.
His family refused to have him cremated, even those remains. So Midnight filled out an extensive paperwork thing to have Philip's bones sent to his home in the U.S. rather than pay for crematory space. He then attached a guitar neck, pickups, volume knobs, and a jack, strings, and electronics to the bones of Philip's torso to make it a fully functioning electric guitar. You can see a video of the instrument in action here. I'm going to put it up.
Okay.
I don't know if we can actually hear it. Maybe we can. Let's see if we can.
It plays like,
ooh. Oh, that's kind of rad looking. Look at that.
It is rad looking, but you could easily do that with a resin skeleton, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
there's
no
reason to use actual human bones.
I don't think I'd do it for sure, but all right, here's.
Oh, no. Captain Kipper found that this might be a.
Is this fake?
This might be a hoax.
Is it a hoax?
No.
How do we know that?
Well. It's funny. Story about Florida man's skeleton guitar appears to be a hoax, say local reporters. However, the Prince Midnight stands by his claim that he turned his uncle's bones into a Skelecaster.
Oh. So what is it? Just people saying, we don't think it's true. And he said, yes, it is. And that's all we have?
The reporter's saying, a Florida musician who claims to have built a guitar from his uncle's skeleton bears a, quote, striking resemblance to a known local prankster.
Oh. Well, then the jury's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
The important thing is this is not some site that does joke posts and that I got suckered again. That's the important thing.
Right, no, it's New Musical Express. It's NME. Yeah. I mean, it's a...
Yeah, this isn't me falling for the freaking Babylon Bee or some bullshit.
In 2018, he was listed in the Guinness Book of World Records for having the world's tallest hat and longest acrylic nails.
The same dude.
So he's yeah, same dude. Back then, he called himself Odilon Ozare.
All right.
Let's hear some of this. Is there music? Hold on. I don't hear anything. It's... Yeah, I don't know. Just you may as well just have a guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you really need the bones? Whether this is real or not, like, what's the point? All right, well, it may not be real.
That's funny. Oh, and there, and he also sold a picture of a two-headed crocodile to the Tampa Bay Times in 2014. So this guy is absolutely, he's like the Joe Exotic of Florida attention, newspaper attention.
Wow. Well, well done. I didn't even realize we had two Florida man stories today.
Yeah.
'Twas not my intent.
No, we didn't mean to. Didn't mean to.
All right. We got more Florida stories. Here's one for you now.
All right.
I didn't mean to do this at all. Seriously, this is totally new.
It's all Florida all the time.
This swings us back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win in the Super Bowl a little bit.
Yep.
Porn viewing in Florida spiked by 15 full percentage points after Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl win. We'll try to figure out why in a second. I honestly, I don't know.
Somebody order a Heisman Trophy.
No kidding. In the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl spanking of the... did they have to use spanking? They probably did. Of the Kansas City Chiefs made you horny. Then you're not alone. After Sunday's game, Strip Chat updated its old blog with data showing how traffic to the adult webcam platform went up and through throughout the big game. So wait, adult webcam platform, that's different than just, you know, somebody going to some pre-recorded stuff, which makes me think... I mean, what is that? That's like ladies in football uniforms doing all weird stuff on the camera or something weird.
Well, or it could just be good. You know, one woman sitting on a bed in front of a Surface Pro 3 taking off her Brady jersey for $12 an hour or whatever. Totally, I don't know how this thing.
It could totally be that. That's exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly in line.
That's probably more like what it is. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. See, this is also misleading. Traffic dropped 12% at kickoff as folks tuned into the game, and then shot up about 6% during the halftime show. The weekend really put people off. They're like, yeah. It says maybe some people decided to ditch the weekend's performance.
I can't feel my junk when I'm with you, but I like it.
Anyway, so what they're saying is it dropped 12 and then went back up to 15.
So what they're saying is, Florida people turned off porn for 2 hours to watch the Super Bowl and then turned it back on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lame. Luke, he was fine. There's nothing wrong with the weekend. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah. He's fine. I mean, it wasn't the greatest halftime show I've ever seen, but I don't put that on the weekend. I put that on audio issues and
he puts that on until Tuesdays. Or Till Tuesday.
That's right.
The weekend
opening for Till Tuesday.
Yep. Or that Wednesday girl from the Addams Family. One of them.
Right.
A different day of the week is what we're saying. Hey, speaking of which, I realized I didn't know this, but I guess the weekend got to start just posting tracks up on freaking SoundCloud. Like, he's one of those guys.
Oh, really? That's cool.
That's so cool. I love to hear about that.
That is cool.
I think that
and
was...
And then Daft Punk said, yeah, we'll do it. Well, we can work with you.
Yeah, yeah. And Post Malone, I think. Same thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 100% sure on that.
That's how, that's how the music world's changing.
Yep.
We don't need big labels anymore, people.
Nope. I mean,
rebel!
They're both on giant labels now, but yes. To get started, yeah, you don't need a big label.
Are they on big labels now? Are they on, like, Sony or BMG or Universal or something?
I assume. Yeah. I mean, they got to be, right? They're huge now.
Not necessarily. I mean, Weezer's on their own little indie label.
Well, they're weird, though, right? Aren't they weird? They're weird.
Weezer is weird, yeah. But
okay, Post Malone is with Republic Records. And
which is probably a subsidiary of one of the big ones.
Yeah, and The Weeknd, who's missing an E, he is with EXO, whoever that is.
Good. All right. Small indie labels, presumably, unless these are, like, again, a subsidiary of...
Canadian record label co-founded by singer of The Weeknd. So it's kind of his deal as well. So, yeah, very, very indie. Very small.
Good.
All right. Well, good for him.
And yeah.
His cool sunglasses and bringing that afro back, man. That
oh, there we go.
Back.
Republic is owned by Universal. So Post Malone is just one Kevin Bacon away from Universal Music Group.
So he's like, what's that like? That's like Searchlight Pictures for Fox, isn't it? Like little.
Yeah, that's okay. A good comparison. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Well done, yeah. Everyone. Well done. Also, porn is up in Florida, but it was also just down for a game and then it was up again. So it's a dumb story.
That's right. Exactly. Apparently, people in Florida don't have two devices that they can watch a game and watch porn on at the same time.
Y'all need to learn how to multitask. All right. Moving on to a thing that Brian should
picture
appreciate.
Picture.
Because Brian likes his 3D printing. So here's a story about that. The world's largest 3D printed home could be yours for a mere $200,099. Which isn't too bad, actually.
It's not too bad. Yeah.
I mean, unless we find out this thing's just made of porous resin and can't take a rainstorm whatever.
Tell me what level of infill I'm getting for my money there.
No kidding. The world's largest 3D printed home is for sale in Riverhead, New York. The 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom home features 1,400 square feet of living space plus a 750 square foot garage. It is printed on a 1/4-acre plot of land. Or it was printed there, rather. $299,000. Let's see. Took 8 hours to print over an 88-day period. That doesn't make sense.
No.
Lane took just 8 hours to print over an 88...
For an 8-day period. Which,
how's that possible?
Over an 8-day period. Do they mean it took 8 days and 8 hours? Just 8 hours over 8 days?
Either way, that seems crazy and too short.
Let's see. There's video, actually. I want to see if there's like time lapse.
8 hours a day is maybe what they mean?
I don't know. That seems...
Oh, yeah. It took 8 hours to print over an 8-day period. I think they're trying to say 8 hours a day.
Yeah. So there is video of it. I mean, basically it is a like galley, you know, like basically they've got the infrastructure over it and this thing moves over it like a traditional filament 3D printer. I can't tell I wonder what's using as
For materials and stuff,
For material. Yeah.
It doesn't say. It does say it can robotically build foundations, walls, utility conduits, and more. The system reportedly reduces on-site labor to as few as 3 people and accounts up to 41% of the construction of the home. So there's still a lot, you know, you got to put in there, but it's kind of
your
basics.
That's really cool, because then you can, you know, this is cheaper to print, and you can just basically design it and be there to fix a problem if it comes up, but you don't need a dozen contractors.
I mean, we're all picturing a big PVC freaking looking house, but I'm sure this looks, you know, well, there's pictures.
Yeah, the video on the page is actually kind of cool. Like, it shows they're doing curved walls and corners and things like that, and it's actually kind of cool.
That's rad. It's cool on the outside.
Yeah,
who's that guy? I don't want to look at him.
Who's that guy? What's that guy doing there?
Who's that guy? Ooh, I like him.
I mean, it's, you know, it's...
This looks all right.
Yeah, I mean, the outside is still going to be your typical siding. There's still a roof on top that's not 3D printed. It's really just the frame of the house is 3D printed.
Yeah, that's interesting. Oh. Let's check this. It's my favorite part. Stephen King, the listing agent. That's what it says. In a press release says, at $299,999, this home is priced at 50% below the cost of comparable newly constructed homes in Riverhead, New York, and contains 3 ghosts and a couple of vampires. He says, "Just kidding." Uh-huh. That part.
Should have been in Maine.
Should have been in Maine. Castle Rock 3D printing company. It says here it's a major step towards addressing the affordable housing crisis plaguing Long Island. So there you go.
Yeah, if you can use recycled materials, because whatever they're using, they have to have water jets constantly spraying it. I don't know if that cures it or what that what those jets are spraying on as it's laying down each layer, but it's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. The median house price in Long Island is $540,000, so that is a massive savings. And it looks like a pretty cool little house. I'd buy that house. It looks okay inside, too. I don't know if I like that marble floor or not. I can't tell if I like that.
Yeah, the marble floor looks a little like 90s I have too much money kind of cribs level.
Like, but things have been filmed there you don't want to know about and stuff like that.
Exactly. Don't put a black light on that marble floor in a few years.
Yeah. Dice Tomato is 1,400 square feet, so plus 750 square foot garage. Pretty good.
Yeah, Dice Tomatoes in the market. He asked me how much it was, where it was, what the square footage is.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So now you know what you got to do to get your printed house. Let's now do what we need to do, and that is take a break with a song before Justin comes in. Brian, what song are we playing today?
What song indeed? We're playing a song by a group called Yo Kinky.
Whoa.
That's all right. The name of the band. Okay. And if you get a chance, I do want you to check out the video because it's really good. They have a brand new single too. So they've got Someone I Used to Know, and now their second single is this one right here, Resistance. It's a duo made up of Laura Wright, and I can't see in this list who the other person is, but she is, the video is great, right? It shows Laura going through a bunch of different movie trope disasters, like a flaming kitchen that she's just calmly drinking coffee in, or a weird torture water tank that's slowly rising as she's singing, or tied to a train track. It's really cool. Anyway, these guys are good. Check them out. Yo Kinky from Ridgewood, Queens. Here's their new song, Resistance.
Thank you.
Hey guys, time to talk about Blue Chew. Yeah, that's right. This episode's sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Tablets combat all forms of ED. It can help men gain extra confidence when it comes time to perform. Well, yeah. Blue Chew is an online prescription service with no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is super simple. Sign up at bluechew.com, B-L-U-E, like the color, bluechew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength of your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are completely chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it comes time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And they've got a special deal for you as TMS listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com. Promo code TMS to receive your first month for free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the show.
I want you to know that your father loves you both very much.
But he throws like a girl.
So did Martina Navratilova. But that doesn't mean she wasn't macho in many other important ways.
And they look around and they... It's a spit, a spit, spit, spit.
The Morning Stream. Lights, camera, Kong.
All right, we have returned. Whoa, what was that? Did you hear that?
No.
Hold on. Weird. Oh, it's no scraper people outside.
Ah, okay. Just made this. By the way, that was Yo Kinky and the song Resistance.
Nice. I heard this horrible like grrrk right behind me, and I thought, uh-oh, something. Wait, there it is again. Oh, yeah, they're really tearing it up out there. Jeez Louises. Mm. All right. Well, wish me luck, everybody.
Woohoo!
All right, let's call Justin. Do you think that's okay?
I think it's okay.
It's all right. I mean,
it's all right.
We have anything else? Then
I don't
that's
know.
Fine.
I mean, you know, he's in quarantine. He might be in quarantine still.
Yeah, he probably is. Let's find out.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Justin Robert Young joining us from looks like quarantine to me. Hello, Justin. Hi.
Hi, friends. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. You sound much better today.
You're on a mic, looks like.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? What do you mean, Brian?
Yeah. I mean, AirPods compared, yesterday.
No. There's... Compared to 2 months from now?
Yes. Yes, the episode that
if we have to lie about when we're recording this, then you have to lie, too. You can't.
Okay. You sound much better than you will sound in about 3 weeks. Or 4 weeks when that episode comes. No, it's closer to 6 or 8 weeks.
We're time lords. Time lords, man. That's what we are. Right. Hey, so Justin's in quarantine after a trip to procure housing in the great state of Texas, which is now covered in snow and ice and bad power.
Which is
problems.
Minneapolis now.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing that happened.
Real good. Did the area that you found the home in, is it being hit by all this pretty bad or what?
I mean, it's in Texas. It's in Austin. So, yeah. As far as we know, it didn't lose power, but certainly a lot of snow on the ground.
Yeah. Well, it's a rarity. Hopefully it's not a trend moving forward, but I guess.
No, I'm actually pretty excited because if it's a once every 100-year thing, I'm glad that they're getting that nonsense out of the way.
Yeah, let's be done with that.
I want to clear the way for another 100 years for you, boy.
Good idea. That's how I feel about pandemics as well. Let's get that out and over with and done, and then we'll save it for the next 100 years. Anyway, hey, it's good to have you here. We are going to do what we do on Tuesdays with Justin, a little bit of political talk about what's going on in the world. And in particular, we thought today we might focus in on where we're at with potential stimulus checks or add-on. Basically, it's that 1400 effort to get. You may be able to explain this better than me, but my understanding is they passed something that was like 600, and now everybody's like, well, we're going to add more to that. And now we get to see whether they really want to work together to do that.
Or well, I guess, yeah. The question is when you start in the timeline.
Right.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when I was down in Georgia, the conversation was not for $1,400 stimulus add-ons.
Yeah.
The conversation was for $2,000 stimulus checks.
Right.
Then they won. So they kind of got what they wanted, and then it became no. It'll be 1400 that'll add on to the 600 that we got last year, that was passed by a previous administration, and that'll all count for 2000. Basically, the Biden COVID relief effort is a $1.9 trillion package. Mm-hmm. To give you a sense of scale, that is going to be double what the previous one was that was passed in the waning days of the Trump administration. The question is exactly how they get it passed. And increasingly, it looks like the answer is something called reconciliation. So you're going to hear this a lot, especially now that we are past impeachment. And this is kind of the main event politically. Reconciliation is when you don't have to pass something in the Senate by a 60 vote threshold. Mm-hmm. So right now it's 50-50. You need 10 Republicans to sign on to anything to make it bipartisan. Reconciliation, you can get around this, but a bunch of things need to happen. Number one, the same party has to be in control of both houses, both Senate and the House. Mm-hmm. Second, it needs to be a budget maneuver. And that's effectively what this is that they are tacking things on to the budget and saying this is all necessary for the budget. There's a lot of rigmarole that goes in past this, including the House passing a similar bill to the Senate. And then they got to hone it down to make sure that they are exactly the same thing that they are talking about. Everybody gets to try to tack on random stuff that they hope to either poison the well or shake loose some votes. And then at any moment, especially in the Democratic side and especially in the Senate, one person, including Joe Manchin from West Virginia or Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona, moderate Democrats could say, nah, this one part of it is going too far, and spike the entire thing. Mm. And that's where they're at right now. With the Democrats put in a pathway to a $15 national minimum wage that looks to be DOA in part because there are people in the Senate that would not vote for it on the Democratic side.
Now, I know people get infuriated by the idea that a COVID relief package or any kind of effort in the history of this country where money and relief is needed for whatever it may be. That pork belly happens, like this concept of like, we're going to tack all these things on here and try to push it through with this thing. Sometimes they seem like they're not even related. Although you could, I guess, make the argument that a bump in the minimum wage is, could be part of a quote unquote relief package. But a lot of times it's other stuff like we're sticking a thing in here that makes it illegal to play your music on Twitch or whatever that was a little while ago. That really frustrates people, like just regular folks. But there's a long history of this, yeah. Right? Like this is since the dawn of all of this. This is how this has gone.
Well, let me put it this way: the reason why we are having this fight is not because of the direct money to people. If anything, that actually has bipartisan support. Before Josh Hawley was the guy who was giving the power to the people sign to people that would eventually storm the Capitol and setting his flag in that element of our society. Only days before, he was arm in arm with Bernie Sanders trying to get $2,000 direct payments to the people. So that has bipartisan support. What doesn't is money to states and city governments, which conservative or Republicans see as a boondoggle to largely misrun blue states and blue cities. the reason why we're having this fight is because whenever something has a shot to pass, everybody gets on that train.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're never, you want to glom on to the things that are popular to get the things that are not so popular through. So yes, that does happen. What we're going to see is it happen even more, and specifically in something that had been phased out in our federal government, and that is earmarks. What we used to call, you know, the pathway to pork belly politics or pork mm-hmm. barrel politics, where everybody can tag on their own little money to their home state, their own little money to their pet cause. That was not allowed for, I think, the last 8 years. Mm. And it was announced earlier this week that under the Democratic leadership, it's coming back.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't heard of that in a while. Also, this term reconciliation is an interesting one because it means something totally different politically than it would in a personal sense. Like if you're like, oh, I haven't talked to my dad in 30 years, but we're going to golf this weekend. We're looking for some reconciliation. That's not the usage you're talking about. And it's easy to hear that.
Also, what a very weird conversation that you're like, apparently you live in an old West town. That they're like, well, you know, me and Pa are going to, we ain't seen each other since the last migration. And yeah. We're looking for some reconciliation. Yeah,
you're going to reconcile this weekend.
We're going to reconcile.
Yeah. Like, but conceptually it isn't that, right? It's not.
Well, no, because the reconciliation that you're talking about here is a reconciliation between both houses of Congress on a budget.
Right.
Certainly not on our modern political right. lines. Yeah, where
this
where
isn't
are,
them going, oh, yes, those 4 years of Trump were very divisive, but now let us find in the middle. We shall meet, shake hands, and forever be brothers in arms. It's not going to happen. That's not what they mean, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, certainly that was Joe Biden's point of view in his speech initially. I think the reality of it, regardless of his actions, are going to be a lot harder, and it's going to mean finding deliberate places where there is bipartisan agreement. I think our problem now is that we see a lot of issues that we definitely don't agree that we're now trying to find. You're basically trying to broker the worst kind of peace, where you're finding an issue that people are very divided on and then saying, all right, now both of you be unhappy right now. Go. Both of you disappoint your bases immediately. Yeah. That's what reconciliation there. I guess no, not let's separate these terms, but
right.
That's what a dividing of this bipartisan strife would be, as opposed to saying, hey, how about we find a new issue that we both can agree on and let's push on that, right? Yeah. But at the same time, we have a very active political scene right now, and active political scenes mean you have a lot of observers and supporters that want what they want, and they want it now. Mm. So if Joe Biden, let's say, were to say, okay, well, I know that my base cares about, you know, climate change and you know, this other stuff, or student debt cancellation. Let's put all that aside and let's focus on, I don't know, some bipartisan school choice, even though that leans more right.
No.
But in the areas where that does overlap with Democratic or suburban voters, you say like, all right, let's do this. Then all the progressives are going to be super upset with you. And now you're denying something. You're like, wait a minute, you got all the way to the dance. We put you in the White House just so you could do a thing that we're not going to be happy with. You know, that's hard.
Yeah,
it is a tricky line to walk.
Even the whole, like during the trial, I thought this was sort of interesting, and I kind of pulled back and tried to look at it from a charged position as I could. But when they had all voted that, yeah, we'll allow witnesses, and they got a bunch of Republicans on board for that, or at least some of the usual suspects of Republicans that have, you know, gone against the Trump grain over the last 4 years, Romney and the rest. When they did that, I went, oh, okay, so they're going to do witnesses. That'll be interesting. But then they decided not to call any witnesses. And I immediately witnessed the public outcry of Democrats and left-leaners everywhere being really, really pissed.
Yeah.
That they didn't, you're going to get that vote and now you're not going to call witnesses.
Left-leaners everywhere, I think, would probably be best described as Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter, sure. Twitter, yeah. Facebook, whatever. I mean, Facebook leans more right, maybe. But I saw this in the places I frequent. And so they were...
I think, because mine was the same. And I live in a very liberal area, and I didn't hear people in the streets honking their horns about the witnesses. But I did see a lot of people pissed off on Twitter.
Yeah, they were mad. And so my takeaway was, or my take was, it was, if I dare simplify, it was this. They said, hey, do you think this is a thing? And the other side said, no. Is there anything we can say to change that? No. But what if we brought witnesses in? Would you still vote differently? Or would you vote differently? No. Well, then, all right, let's just do this and take a vote. Like, that seems like that's what that was. Am I wrong in that assumption? Because at some point, having witnesses, all that rigmarole, an extra week or two of the trial, I don't know how that changed the bottom line. It's not like you were going to suddenly see a swath of Republicans go, oh, well, now that
we've
heard...
That was what we were looking for. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Now that we've heard from so-and-so, I'm flopping on this now. I'm definitely right. going to go the other direction.
Well, I mean, the other thing was who they were going to call, which is a representative who said she was informed of a call between House Leader Kevin McCarthy and Trump during the riot, wherein... it was a very heated conversation, and at some point, Trump said to McCarthy, it looks like the people that are there are more upset about the results of the election than you are. Now, that would have been, I mean, that certainly was a headline that went around. It also would have immediately become a literal he said, she said, because Kevin McCarthy said that was an inaccurate description of the call. Hmm. Whether or not you believe him, we know how this goes, right? We literally went through a whole other Ukraine thing where there was a like, no, you didn't, you misunderstood the meaning of that, where we were arguing about the
perfect call.
Yeah, the perfect call.
Yeah. Well, and also it's like, and then we're arguing with, at least then in Ukraine, we had transcripts.
Yeah.
So you could have, you know, somebody say like, oh, I hope you have a nice day. And, you know, the Democrats read it as like, I hope you have a nice day, and then like cocks a gun, you know, motion or whatever. And Republicans would be like, I hope you have a very nice day. And then everybody kind of goes along because context is lost in text. It's even further lost when you have two people saying two different things. The ultimate reason why they didn't go forward with witnesses is A, because they had already agreed to not do it. This would have been a certain break in their discipline. And the reason why they agreed not to do it is because they actually have stuff to do. The Democrats run things now.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you were just wasting cocaine Mitch's time. Now they're the ones that have to do what they need to do. And, you know, if there was a real possibility that, you know, going through that entire witness situation would have put the monkey wrench into this COVID-19 stuff, because unemployment benefits lapse on March 14th. So if you don't get this, again, very delicate, very a risky reconciliation maneuver completed and law by then you have... you have these benefits lapsing on your watch for what? So you could, you know, call one witness that was already going to be disputed, and then the Republicans get to call, you know, 50 million people and the guard who was guarding Jeffrey Epstein and Joe Maldonado, the Tiger King. Like that's what's going to happen, because they then have the incentive to waste time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I agree with that. And like that's why I couldn't quite understand the anger, but again, it's the internet. So of course there's anger about everything, but
I think ultimately also like people were just kind of biased toward a thing happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's
I'm
all for
different.
Stuff. I'm all for stuff just coming out, like get it out. And so I would have been fine with witnesses personally, because I knew the votes weren't going to change, but I think there's some value in being on the record and being under oath and saying it out loud. You know, there's some value to that, but it's not going to change the votes. They didn't
ultimately it's a political process. It's not a real trial.
Right.
They called it a trial and you call it evidence and you call it all these and you call them jurors. They're not. They're jurors as part of a trial in the way that I was hipster Aladdin for Halloween. Like I'm not really, I mean, I might be a hipster, but I'm not Aladdin.
No, no.
You know, so it's like, it's just a thing that you say because it's a political process. You knew walking in what was going to happen, which is why the most successful impeachment maneuver was the one that didn't happen with Nixon.
Yeah.
Because you know the writing on the wall way before you actually have to go through with it.
Right. So there's one other question today. Are you surprised that there hasn't been less distancing? Like I think there's been more doubling down on the Trump platform or Trump-like platform for a lot of the right in Congress. And I expected more distancing. I expected more statements like, whether you think he's being genuine or not, but Mitch McConnell, literally after voting to acquit the president, turns right around and makes a statement about how it was all Trump's fault and that was all a big mess and it was awful and everything. I thought we'd hear more of that more often from all the ranks. And I feel like it's been more doubling down, or even if it hasn't been, you know, specifically the way that like Marjorie Taylor Greene does it, where she calls out Trump's name and said, he's the leader of our party and just doubles down on that. But like others, like Ted Cruz and others, they're all kind of acting kind of Trump-like, but I thought there'd be more distancing. I thought there'd be, this was the chance for them to go, all right, phew, we don't have to pretend anymore. Or we don't have to hold the lines quite so tightly. And instead it feels like we're seeing less of that. Is that just my perception, or what do you take there? What do you think?
It's hard for me to say that I would expect things to go one way or another because they're politicians. They're going to go where the heat is, right? Yeah. I think that what you have seen in the polls is that Trump is diminished amongst Republicans, but he is certainly the largest force, singular force there. So nobody is going to necessarily want to give up a bird in the hand for two in the bush Well, I guess Bush might be the wrong way to say it when we're talking about establishment Republicans. Although, or maybe it's the right way to say it because the idea that we would go back to, or the Republican Party would go back to a more establishment perspective that it was before Trump showed up. So nothing particularly surprises me. Do I think that Trump is all of a sudden popular amongst these Congress folk? No, I don't. Do I think that some of them see their future in his coalition? Yep. Yeah. I absolutely do. Yeah. And I think that's ultimately what you're talking about. There is an argument to say, and I don't think it's an incorrect one, that the future of that party, the Republican Party, and what Trump revealed was that this is a more working class party, that as the Democrats become more city focused and coastal focused, they are giving up blue collar voters. And Trump spoke to those blue collar voters. So I think that the candidates that believe that's the future for them getting elected, especially nationally, they're going to be, non-confrontational to complimentary of Trump. The ones that believe that the hemorrhaging that Trump did with suburban voters is a major problem, and you're not just going to make up your coalition with a group of people that has not historically gone to the polls for Republicans, they are going to distance themselves from Trump because, you know, he was the reason that a lot of suburban voters and suburban women didn't vote. I mean, look, suburban upper class white guys won this election for Biden. Mm-hmm. And traditionally, suburban upper class white guys vote Republican. And that's where like the Ben Sasses and the Mitt Romneys want to go.
Right. Yes, that perfectly describes them. Well, it's been an interesting transition. We'll see what the future holds, and hopefully it holds some immediate help for COVID and the messed up stuff happening in Texas today. I just want everybody in Texas to be okay. All right. That's all I'm saying.
Stay safe. That's no joke. Yeah.
Yeah, for real. I want you guys to be safe. It's in the early goings. It's really easy for us Northerners to go, psh, you ever seen a snow before? That's not snow. Burp, burp, burp. And we get real cocky about it. But the truth is, We have infrastructure here. We have methods. We have stuff. We have standards that are built around knowing that every winter we're going to have a ton of snow. In places that don't have that, you don't have that, just like we don't have hurricane safe stuff here as an example. And so don't take any beef from people. Just be safe. And I hope you guys are all right. And for those who can't hear us because they have no power, just stay warm. And I hope your car batteries are good and all that stuff. All right, Justin, anything else going on this week? I know you're crazy busy with all this move planning and everything else. Now you're in quarantine while you do it all. What should people be looking forward to this week from Justin Robert Young?
Just the politics podcast. Head on over there wherever you get your podcasts. This week we have a look ahead to the Trumpless congressional world, which is something that we have not obviously been able to say in many, many years. And I don't know whether or not I'm going to get all up into the Lincoln Project this week or next week, or
that's such a mess. What a freaking cluster F that is. Anyway, I'm excited to hear you talk about it.
I've got something for them. And also I want to take a look at Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, who has under the radar become a possible stealth 2024 Republican nominee.
Ooh, stealth. I like stealth. fantastic. Justin Robert Young, everybody. Justin R. Young on Twitter. Go follow him. We'll see you soon.
Bye. Yeah. See you, chirps.
He's in Darren Kitchen's house.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Kitchen is a trusting man, is what I'm saying.
Is he in Darren Kitchen's kitchen, though?
Yeah, that's a good question. Wouldn't it be funny if Darren Kitchen doesn't have a kitchen? That'd be amazing.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. That'd be the best.
He just makes irony. food in his microwave in his bedroom or something.
Right, exactly.
That'd be great. All right, guys, good news. We've come to the part of the show where we have some bonus mashups, in a row that are really insane. All right, so apparently Brian and I would like to do voices on the show, and sometimes we like to do accents, and whether it's Brian's Australian accent or I'm pulling some Irish thing out of my butt or doing Philip or doing the freaking German thing or whatever, the truth is we never quite stop doing that, and we don't even realize how much we do it. Well, Jamie knows, so he started making these mashups, and here's our first in a series. This is called The Accent Specials Irish, and he specifically called out Claire Gack for this. I haven't heard this yet, but I'm nervous. So enjoy. I just feel like I'm the one always spouting off the offensive Irish stuff. So if this following content gets anyone in trouble, it'll probably be me. And then we'll get around to whatever Brian offended somebody. We'll get to him later, but I'm just a little nervous today.
I offend people equally who just haven't gotten to me yet.
Equal opportunity offenders. Here we go. The accent special begins now.
So now we go all the way over to Ireland.
No accents.
None needed here. Nobody needs to talk like they're from Ireland. Why is your cheese so stinky, Seamus?
Follow me into the bathroom and I'll show you my lucky charms.
Look at my blue banana.
We got all sorts of new flavors, new marshmallows, pink sack.
It's just a thing that people have these extinction events in their lives. It could be psychological or it could be physical, Bono said. We've got to get in there and see what the stink is all about. I like to drink this shit and then poop it out and Brian to drink it.
You just have to have a spank, that's all.
That's all you need.
A spank. There's all you gotta do and the problem solves itself.
There's a lovely man down the road just waiting for me.
Spank him, Daddy.
You'll come in here and watch Attack of the Clones with me or else we're done.
Misa got something in my eye. Hold on.
This is the one where he doesn't like sand. It's gritty in his fingers.
It gets in everywhere.
I've got the high ground, Anakin.
Sean O'Hare, I'll be your lawyer today.
Did you slip when you're trying to grab the watermelon, or did you already have it in your possession? We're going to win this case. We're almost to the end of me rainbow. All the way from Ireland, we're cutting cheese.
All the way from Ireland.
We're cutting the cheese, and we're distributing it to all the other people here who want the cheese. You ever had good Irish cheese? I'll tell you right now. It'll go to your belly, and then before you know it, you'll be shitting for a week.
week.
Hey, I've got to go somehow save these virgins. You'll all want to get out on the pitch. We're about to start the game.
Oh, Donald, what are you doing, Donald?
Donald, what are you doing out in the backyard, Donald? Come in the house. Pull your pants up, boy.
Go guard that pot of gold, Donald.
Yeah, what are you doing? These lucky charms aren't going to eat themselves. Tastes a bit soapy, but I'll take it. It's not quite what I'm used to, but I'll take it.
This sandwich tastes clean as a whistle.
Look out there, Luke. You're going to fall. Grab me hand. Grab me hand, Luke.
Grab a hold of that pot of gold right there on your way down.
I am your leprechaun. Oh, thank you very much. We like to tell each other how we're doing on Facebook.
Just drink a Guinness. Oh, love.
I hate your post. Go learn to do it differently. This is shite. Ah, where are the police? Open the door. Open your effing door. We're coming in.
There's a bobby at the door. Let us in.
That's right. If you don't open the door, we'll say shit, but it'll sound like shite. Ah, follow me nose. It never knows.
I mean, that's not... That's Fruit Loops.
Is that and, Fruit Loops?
Yeah. That's just not an Irish bird. I don't know what's wrong with me. Oh, man. I would like to ask him, how many episodes does that represent? Like, how often were we doing?
That was just one episode, Scott.
Oh, that was just one? Okay.
That was all just one episode.
Great. Yeah. I'm sure glad he stuck to just one then. Oh, man. That was weird. All right. We have more coming. I don't even know what the next one is. I know one of them is Southern accents. I'm a little worried about that one.
Yeah.
Good. I'll tell you.
Oh, we're gonna have to temporarily leave our jobs as hosts of The Bachelor once that one gets out.
Yep.
But just temporarily.
That's right. We got one coming up called Accent Special, Some Info for You. Oh, no, that's never mind. That's a follow-up thing. Never mind. Forget about that. Okay. So anyway.
There's no info for us.
So TMS mashups, Jamie, big thanks. That's awesome. And you made me laugh. So nice job. All right, Brian, I think we're about done with the show today. What else? Is that it? I think that's it. Reminder, if you like the show, that you can go and put your money where your mouth is and stick a dollar our way. That's right. Just shove it in there over at patreon.com/TMS. And for everything else you may be looking for or trying to track us down at, you can find us at frogpants.com/TMS. And keep those emails coming, themorningstream@gmail.com. We love hearing from you each and every day. So themorningstream@gmail.com. All right, we should go.
Okay.
Do you have a song?
I do, but please, people, for the sake of your own safety and the transmission of harmful viruses, please don't put your money where your mouth is.
No.
Thank you.
No, good point. Why did I even say it?
Don't literally do that. Yeah. Hey, Christopher Hansen. Mm. Chris Hansen, what?
Wait a minute. He's here to catch a predator.
He is. What'd you think was going to happen when you asked for iced tea? What did you think was going to happen here? Christopher Hansen wrote in, said, "Hey, Suds and Bubbles, while I know 2020 was terrible for everyone, it was the year I had the most medical issues ever. The highlights of the year being left shoulder surgery to stop dislocations and then a fracture to my right elbow.
Jeez.
For my birthday, on the day after Valentine's Day, February 15th, which for the record kind of sucks, I would like to request a cover of Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb. I'm an Amazon delivery driver, and the Frog Pants podcasts have been a boon on the long shifts. The first ever podcast I subscribed to was Film Sack and was immediately hooked. Thank you guys for all you do. Signed, Chris."
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome.
Chris, thank you for doing what you're doing. And you're, you know, the house-to-house kind of stuff and the crap weather you have to deliver in and the fact that you don't get days off like you know, other companies do. Even the USPS, you know, still takes Sundays off and holidays. You guys are out there delivering every freaking day, so thank you for doing what you're doing, Chris.
Yeah, heck yeah. If you come to my house, take some of that granola bars. We got too many of them. Got a whole bag of them.
Yeah, we're doing the box now, too, and right now we've got chocolate Hostess donuts, those little
Ooh.
It's like you remember they used to come in six packs. Mm-hmm. Now they just come in three packs. And what's the company that makes the really good pretzels with like a dusting of mustard?
I love that brand. Gold's. They make the Buffalo Wild Wing
Snyder's
flavor. Snyder's, yes. Oh, they're so good.
So good. Anyway, so if you deliver at our house, you get your choice of those and a Gatorade to wash it all down. We want our delivery drivers to get fat is the problem. Anyway, a cover of Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb. We've played quite a few on this show, and I do try to always play something I haven't played before. This is a great one. I'm surprised I haven't played it before because one of the angry young men of the 80s, You had your Joe Jackson who was angry. You had your Elvis Costello who was angry. And then the third of those angry young men was Graham Parker. Didn't have quite the success that Joe Jackson and Elvis Costello had here in the U.S., but you're probably familiar with a song he did called Local Girls, or Don't Mess with the Local Girls. He did a great cover on a tribute to Pink Floyd's The Wall called A Fair Forgery of Pink Floyd. It was a two-disc set, and one album was called Us, the other album was called Them. Very clever. Came out in 2003. Here's Graham Parker with a very cool live acoustic take on Comfortably Numb.
Oh, awesome. Love that song. Can't wait to hear this. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all. Be here tomorrow for a Wednesday edition of the show. And don't forget to check out my WoW panel on Friday or Saturday.
Yay!
At whatever time it is. I really should know that. I keep forgetting when it is, but it's when the thing launches that day. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you then.
Hello. Is there anybody in there? Just nod if you can hear me. Is there anyone at home? Come on now. I hear you feeling down. Well, I can ease your pain, get you on your feet again. There is no pain, you are receding. Distant ships come to the horizon. You are only coming through in waves. Your lips move, but I can't hear what you say. And when I was a child, I had this feeling. My hands felt like two balloons. Now I've got that feeling once again. I can't explain, you will not understand. This is not how I am. I have become comfortably numb. Okay. Just a little pinprick. There'll be no more, but you might feel a little sick. Stand up, yeah. It's working good. That'll keep you going for the show. Come on, it's time to go. There is no pain, you are receding. And distant ships will come to the horizon. You are only coming through in waves. Your hands move, but I can't hear what you say. When I was a child, I caught a fleeting glimpse from the corner of my eye. I turned to look, but it was gone. I cannot put my finger on. The child is grown, the dream is gone.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Respect my Cumberbatch.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.